I don't think many people are aware of the fact that the church has some very interesting views on migration. And it has been teaching about migration for the last over 100 years and responding to the needs of emigrants and immigrants. And in actual fact, the first principle, and this was in a joint publication by the American bishops and the Mexican bishops, the first principle of migration is that people have a right not to migrate. They have a right to be happy where their home is. And people think the church is just shouting and roaring when it comes to letting people into countries. First and foremost, the church is saying, let's get things right at home so people can be there. Now, the sad reality is, and we don't see it from our Western European position, is that, you know, a lot of countries lack security. I mean, we take it for granted, and I know people can say this, that, and the other, but we take it for granted that we can trust a guard, that we can trust various institutions, even though we may give out about them, but they're not out to harm us. You know, I know there are exceptions. But in other countries of the world, you know, you may get a job, but the cost of living the house that is provided by the person who is employing you takes your wages to pay for that. You can't, you know, the police are complicit with those who are privileged in society. So the poor have no one on their side. So I wouldn't want to talk about, you know, the whole issue of why we receive people in without talking about that first principle, which is the right of people not to migrate.
And you mentioned in your article too about sometimes, you know, we give a lot of aid, and Europe can give a lot of aid. Ireland is well known for giving aid. But that unless we make sure that that aid is going to countries, or that the countries who are getting that aid are being fair, or are being
just. The Pope said in his latest document, Laudato Si, that inequality affects not only individuals but entire countries. And, you know, if you're, aid is a good thing in principle, but if a country is receiving aid and the people in government are not providing the safety and security in which people can flourish, well, the people giving the aid, especially from a European perspective, you know, why aren't they sitting down together and working out a strategy to encourage countries to provide a good standard of living for people and to provide the security and basic needs that people need to live and exist? If aid begins to sort of look at certain indicators that have to be put into place, and aid agencies and organizations across the world begin to do this, it will actually begin to solve problems. Now, there's a whole other aspect of that as well, which is in business. And the Pope also said it in the encyclical quoting to the bishops in South America. He said, business is an industry. They do in the developing world what they'd never do in the first world in terms of the way they treat their workers, in the way they carry out procedures that pollute the environment. So business as well, even though they want globally to be able to move the resources across the world, their ethics and what they do in the first world should be the norm. And that's if they're good ethics, of course, and good procedures, they should be the norm for what happens worldwide. It's not a matter of going to a third world country and getting away with things. It's not just an issue of individuals being saved from the water. It's about creating the scenario whereby, and I think Europe is waking up to this, why are people leaving? And that has to be answered. And in that, I think that really is where we have to really begin to look at to find the solution to these issues.
You're talking there, I suppose, about a restructuring of capitalism, essentially, or a restructuring of economic methods that we have, or economic ideals that we hold.
Well, I've been speaking about this, you know, and reflecting and reading it for many number of years. And I have been given a great encouragement by the Pope's pastoral, because that's basically what he's saying. He said, we're here to exist as a family on this planet and look after one another, not to exploit one another. I think there is a lot of reordering needed, because, you know, like, that is, you know, the downside of our capitalist system and the neoclassical system is, you know, we know all about the divides. We know all about the growing inequalities. And to be honest, we are now reaping that you know, because people cannot live where they're supposed to live, so they're leaving that place.
And then suddenly we're surprised, I suppose, and...
And there are situations where countries are at war, and the civil war, like Syria, that is a different situation where people are... But at the same time, one has to look at, you know, I mean, for instance, with Libya and what was done there, and nothing was put in place in terms of it. And I wonder for how many years were there people, migrants, settling in Libya and getting a future from northern Africa, that they could be there and live there and work there. But now there is no Libya anymore. It's fallen apart. Mm. So people are just, you know, where there was once order, and I know it was a very strong dictatorial order, but there was no room for criminality as there is now.
When people are looking at the current crisis, and sometimes it takes something dramatic, and there was that picture of the young boy who was washed up on the shore that suddenly made people think, what must people be going through that they're, you know, risking everything to come to these to come to these lands, you know, or to leave the land where they're from.
And the pictures of his father, who's, you know, they're coming to the fore now, and the story of what happened. And I'll not forget the poor officer, the policeman, who had to pick up that baby. People forget about those people. I mean, it must be horrendous for them who are on the front line of this. And I suppose I remember in 2001 with the famous incident with the MV Tampa, who tried to get into Australian waters carrying people it picked up from a boat. And when it came to putting the people on land on an island that was designated as an area outside of Australia, they just did it in such a way to hide the people from the photographers and the television cameras, because they don't want to humanize the immigrant.
Mm.
And what the picture, and it's so awful, what it highlights for us is that all this argument, we are dealing with human beings. And it's humanizing what a lot of people don't want humanized.
Yes, because it makes it easier to maintain our barriers and our borders if we can think that those people are either a threat or they're different to us.
Yes, and that they are... You know, castigate them as criminals or as people who are just exploiting welfare and all those things that make us feel that we can turn them away for those reasons. As Pope Francis says, they're human beings who, like you and me, just want to be happy.
But, of course, people will say, I mean, you mentioned there that every parish could take in some families. You know, I mean, is that realistic?
Well, all of them saying in that is that, just as we referred there, that the system that we have in place in terms of the world and the economic order is falling apart. So something else has to replace it. And the one thing that can replace it is the goodness of humanity. You know, I was just talking to a colleague who wouldn't consider himself church-going and wouldn't be into the God thing, as he says himself. But he said, if my parish did this, I would be supporting it. And all that I'm saying is that I think in Ireland that we haven't really seriously got our heads around migration as a church. I think there's been a critical error in the mind of some that they consider the care of migrants as just the provision of religious services. And, you know, if you go back into Scripture, the Scripture tells us to love the neighbour a number of times in the New Testament. But in Scripture, the command to welcome the stranger is in there much more often. And you see, the frightening thing about welcoming the stranger, it exposes us. It shows us up. Being asked to welcome the stranger now, even in this debate that's going on, is showing what we have become. And certainly when sometimes we look at ourselves now, we don't like it. Mm. We get guarded, we get cautious. And in some way, the church has become, like in a lot of the work it does, just an NGO for the government. And the church has to separate itself from that. Like, we often talk about the separation of church and state, and I think probably we need it more than ever, that the church re-engages with its identity and its mission. So what is the church about in the modern European society? Is it just, you know, an agency for government doing what the government wants to respond to, or is it something that shows another order, another way of being in the world?